Well, thank you, Austin and Lakin, for leading us in worship. Well, good morning. My name is Paul Spitka. I'm one of the pastors here at Fellowship Bible Church, and welcome to my living room. We're glad that you can join us. Well, today is a special day because we start a three-week mini-series called Seeing Jesus, kind of as we end our series in Mark. Now, this morning, we're going to look at the first part of Mark 15 and three different ways that people saw Jesus. Next week, we'd love to have you join us as we look at the crucifixion in detail, and then Easter Sunday, we conclude this series as we look at Mark 16 and the glorious resurrection. Well, if you are just now joining us for our Mark series, we've already gone through the triumphal entry. We've already gone through Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples, his betrayal, his arrest, and even some of the trials that he went through with the Sanhedrin. But this morning, we're going to look at Pilate and how he engaged Jesus, as well as the chief priests and the crowds. And we're going to look at these different groups of people and how they saw Jesus in three different ways. But before we get into our text this morning, I would just like to have us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this morning and the technology that allows us to meet like this. And so, Father, I just pray that all the different distractions that could be in people's homes or even in our home with the cats and the dogs around, that they would not distract us from your word. So, Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather as a family in homes as the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles or if you're able to open up your YouVersion live notes to Mark 15, we're going to look at verses 1 to 20. And again, as we've seen in the video already, Jesus approached and engaged with some different groups of people, and each one of them saw him in a different way. Well, the first way that people can sometimes look at Jesus is what I call the committed. The committed. It's found in verses 1 and 2 of Mark 15. It says, "Very early in the morning, the chief priests and the elders and the teachers of the law and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. 'Are you the king of the Jews?' asked Pilate. 'Yes, it is as you say,' Jesus replied." When we look at these two verses, we see that Jesus saw himself for who he really was, the King of Kings. He was really, if you look at Mark 14 and 15, he was really the only one committed to seeing himself this way. He followed the Father's plan. In fact, in Matthew's account of this, we see a little bit more of how important it is. And actually in Mark 14, 35 and 36, if you turn over just one page, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prays. He says, "Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. 'Abba, Father,' he said, 'everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, this cup of suffering. Yet not what I will, but what you will.'" Jesus was committed to the Father's plan. In fact, in Luke 9:51, it says this, "As the time approached for him," Jesus, "to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." He resolutely set out is what the NIV reads. The ESV says he set his face. The New American Standard says he was determined. The King James reads he steadily set his face. And the Message paraphrase says he steeled or hardened himself for the journey. However you want to read it, however you want to interpret it, whatever version you use, Jesus was committed. But then we see another way that people see Jesus, and it's how Pilate engages Jesus. In verses 3, 4, and 5, it says, "The chief priests accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, 'Aren't you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of?' But Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Pilate was amazed. He was wondering, he was pondering. In fact, Matthew's recording of this, he goes a little bit deeper. And so I'd like to read Matthew 27, verses 19 to 24. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and have Jesus executed. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with Jesus who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Then Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting. He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. Pilate seemed to be contemplating to see if Jesus' claims were true. In fact, he goes so far as to write above Jesus' cross for crucifixion, he writes, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, in three different languages. And when he is challenged by the chief priests and the people as to why he would did that, he said, what I have written, I have written. And we've got some additional information in our YouVersion live notes that digs a little bit deeper into that statement and the significance of it. The key is that Pilate was curious about Jesus, but he never seems, at least according to Scripture, never seems to make a commitment to follow Jesus. You see, he valued his position and power over a public declaration of belief in Jesus Christ. He was curious, but not committed. Well, from verses 6 to pretty much the end of our passage, verse 20, the final way that people seem to engage Jesus is what I call the critical. The chief priests, the crowd, the soldiers, they all were critical towards Jesus. In fact, the chief priests had really been trying to get Jesus killed since he raised Lazarus from the grave back in John 11:53. The crowds followed their spiritual leaders and called for Jesus to be crucified and not released. And the soldiers mocked Jesus by putting a purple robe, which signified and symbolized royalty. They put a purple robe around him and a crown of thorns on his head. They were critical of Jesus. So as we think of these three ways that people see Jesus, committed, curious, critical, we really have to ask ourselves kind of a big question, a deeper question this morning. And that is, how do you see Jesus? How do I see Jesus? How do we see Jesus? Are you watching this morning and thinking that those of us who believe in a guy who died and then claimed to rise from the dead and lives in heaven, that those of us that believe in that guy are just nuts, that we're delusional? Do you doubt the existence of any kind of God, small g, let alone a loving God who sent his son, his one and only son, to die on the cross for us? Man, if that's you, if you're watching this morning and you're just critical toward what we're talking about Jesus or the church, we would love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to answer any questions you have. So you can use our online connect card or even post in Facebook and just say, I don't get this. I don't understand that. And we will do our best to answer your questions. But maybe you have a family member or a friend or a coworker who is just completely and totally against Jesus and the church and organized religion. Man, we want to pray for them by name, and you can put their name in the Connect card online. It would be a great way for us to start praying that the Holy Spirit would soften their hearts. Well, maybe you're listening and wondering about this text and the video that we saw and wondering, is all this Jesus stuff even real? Is it true? Maybe you're just curious. Please mark on your connection card online that you would like to know more about a relationship with Jesus. And man, we will call you and we will open up God's Word with you and show you how to have a relationship with God through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We get to God the Father through God the Son. And we want to show you that from God's Word. But maybe you're listening this morning and you already know Jesus and that's awesome. And yet you have a friend that's curious about Jesus and you're wondering about what to say or how to say it. Please share with us that information and we would love to get resources to you. We would love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for your friend, your family member who is curious about Jesus. But my thoughts are that the majority of us watching this morning have already made a decision to follow Jesus. So the question isn't if we're committed to Jesus. The question kind of shifts to how committed are we? How committed are we to Jesus? When life seems to be falling apart and nothing seems to be going our way, will we continue to trust in God's Word and engage it on a daily basis? Or maybe as this quarantine continues and we're forced to stay in our homes, meeting as small groups is going to become more difficult. It's going to take more time, more energy. Are you committed to pursuing Christ-centered relationships, whatever they look like, in the days and weeks to come? Maybe when finances are tight, and when you're not able to work, are you committed to supporting the local church? The local church that allows us to share the good news of Jesus, not just locally, but globally as well through our missionaries. Are you willing to step out in faith and continue to financially support the local church? Well, I've been praying for a way to share with you how we want you to see Jesus this morning as a loving Heavenly Father. And an illustration and a thought came to me this week. You see, we've been doing some remodeling on our goat pen. Please don't judge us. We have animals on our little hobby farm here. And we have this A-framed house for the goats. Well, my granddaughter and I, Savannah, we were hanging out there and she goes, "Papa, up." And I'm like, "All right, we can get you on top of that A-frame. It's about 8 foot tall or so." And so I ran up the one side. Remember, it's an A-frame. Ran up the one side and I lean over, probably dangerously so, lean over and I go to pick her up. And I get her a couple inches off the ground. And all of a sudden, her eyes start getting bigger and I tell you guys, I will never forget this. This is burned into my memory. She looks up at me and she goes, "You got me, Papa. You got me." And I tell you what, I looked down at her and I said, "Papa's got you, Savvy. Papa's got you." And the fear in her face, it just went away and she smiled. She goes, "Okay." And no matter how high I lifted her, she was smiling and man, I got her up there on that goat pen or on the goat house and we just watched the sunset, her and I. But just knowing that someone she loved, someone she trusted had her. So I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what you're struggling with this morning. I don't know where you are as a family or your finances, but I want you to know that if you look up to God and say, "You got me, Papa. You got me, Abba." He's got you. He's going to look down in love and say, "I've got you." No matter what happens, God's got you. He is a loving Heavenly Father that we can run to, not just when things are going good, but when our world seems to be falling apart as well. So what we're going to do is just give you a few moments to really consider the question, how committed are you to Jesus this morning? As an individual, as families? Austin's going to come back here in a second and lead us in some worship. But we really want to give you just a few moments of silence to consider your commitment to Jesus. As you do, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this time. Thank you for your word that speaks to us today. The word that encourages us that you are our loving Heavenly Father. And that you are willing to go through such pain and such anguish for us. As we will see in the weeks to come, that you suffered death on a cross, but that didn't keep you, that you rose again on the third day and you live in heaven waiting for us, and that we can have a relationship with you. So Father, this morning we would pray that we would leave behind the critical, that we would leave behind the curious, but that we would deepen our commitment to you in whatever way that your Holy Spirit lays on our hearts. So may we spend a few moments silently, quietly, considering and praying to you what that commitment might look like.